special meeting to order. At this time, roll call, please.
President Steele.
Here.
Vice President Graves.
Here.
Director Simon.
Here.
Director Tatro.
Here.
Okay, all present. Time is now for public comment. There's no public in the room, so we will close public comment. At this time, I'd like to turn it over to staff. Or legal, excuse me.
Thank you, President Steele. Board members, the board is now adjourning into closed session regarding action item D. Thank you.
I mean, where did you, where's the cell phone I call you on right there?
Yeah, I know.
Is that okay?
Yeah, you can call whatever you want.
Did you say car
fire? Bring the closed session back. Legal, please.
Thank you, President Steele. Board members, the board has reconvened from closed session regarding action item D on the special meeting agenda. All four of the board members were present during the entirety of the closed session. There is no reportable action. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you very much. This time, I'd like to adjourn the closed session. Good evening. Welcome to the Town of Discovery Bay Community Services District regular meeting. If I could turn it over and for roll call, please.
President Steele.
Here.
Vice President Graves.
Here.
Director Simon.
Here.
Director Tatro.
Here.
Thank you very much. If I could have the Girl Scouts come to the front of the room and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. You could all stand, please.
Face the flag, you guys. Face the flag. Ready?
Stop. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good job. Well done.
At this time, it's time for public comments. Individual public comments will be limited to 3-minute time limit. During the public comments, the public may address the board on any issue within the district's jurisdiction, which is not on the agenda. The public may comment on any item on the agenda that is before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium. There will be no dialogue between the board and the commenter. Any clarifying questions from the board must go through the chair. I've got two slips here. Mr. Richardson, please.
My comment concerns the questions that remain unanswered regarding the benefits program, which at one time was approved for the directors. You have my letters on that matter, and the request for answers is not going to go away until you answer them properly. Thank you.
Karen, please.
Thank you for letting me come and speak this evening. I'm here with a different hat on, actually a couple hats, REI, which is in the consent calendar for later. But I'm president of the Liberty Union High School District Ed Foundation, and we've kind of been in the background for quite a few years. I'm not doing a whole lot, but over the last few years, we've just revitalized our organization. And this weekend, we do have a fundraiser going on in at the streets of Brentwood. And it benefits all students in the Liberty Union High School District. It's an e-waste event. So if you guys got any junk that you want to get rid of, it's from 9 to 3 at the streets of Brentwood. Also, I see so many people in here. We also are looking for board members. So if any of you are looking for a position that don't get selected, we are looking for board members for the Ed Foundation. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anybody else like to comment on anything?
We'll squeeze you in.
Okay, I see no one else for comment. I'm going to close public comment at this time. At this time, I'd like the Girl Scouts to come up to the front with me. I have a little presentation to make.
you girls doing tonight?
Yeah.
How old are you?
Eight.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Nine.
Yeah, you're nine? How long have you girls been in the Girl Scouts?
Since the end of school.
Oh, wow. Is it fun?
Yeah.
Do you learn some neat things?
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad you're here tonight. I want to do the board in the town of Discovery Bay would like to recognize the 100-year anniversary of the Girl Scouts of America. On March 12, 1912, the Girl Scouts had their first meeting in Savannah, Georgia. The first meeting was with Juliet Gordon Lowe, the founder of the Girl Scouts, and both visiting founders of both the Boy Scouts and the Girl Guides in England attended. Since that meeting, there's over 50 million girls who have participated in Girl Scouts, so I'm really proud. You guys are in a very unique and special group here, so I'm very proud of you. Today, there's over 47,000 girls and 32,000 adult members in Northern California Council, 3.2 million members in the United States. Anyway, I'd like to congratulate you on all your efforts and all the good things that you do and the differences you make in being good citizens and making a positive change for all your friends and all your family members. So at this time, I'd like to give you this proclamation on behalf of the town of Discovery Bay. So thank you for coming out today. Thank you very much, and thanks for the cookies.
Thank you.
You didn't get the cookies?
Your last night.
You didn't get cookies? I think the breakfast got cookies.
That sounds
funny. Anyway, we're very proud of our Girl Scouts and the good citizens they are. And thank you again.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Good evening. At this time, I'd like to we're going to go over area agency reports and presentations. Is there a member from the sheriff's here tonight?
AJ. He was out there giving tickets earlier today.
Yeah, no cell phones, guys. No cell phones. And I have to offer the same apology this month that I did last month. This is January stats, which I should have had last month, but I neglected to bring. We had a computer glitch, and so this month I was able to get the raw data, but we weren't able to generate the reports that you're used to seeing. So, again, I will owe you the February stats in March. I apologize. They're upgrading all of the systems, the networks, and the computers, and it's just nothing seems to work right when I need it to. But of note for the February stats for this month, on a negative note, the property crimes were up from the previous month, from January, mostly in the area of residential burglaries. I guess if there is a positive note with that regard, they were vacation homes and homes where people were on vacation, so at least nobody was put in jeopardy with people breaking into homes. The property crimes were on the rise. We got some leads. They're not as promising as ones I've had in previous cases. It appears to, again, be juveniles or young adults committing the crimes, but we don't have a lot of information beyond that. So if anybody has any info, please give us a call and let us know. And along those same lines, keep an eye out for your neighbors. If you know they're going to be on vacation or if you know there are homes in your neighborhood that are either weekend homes or summer homes, keep an eye on those. And if you see anything odd, a landscaper that you haven't seen before, workers that are working on something and you didn't know that they were supposed to be there, anything odd, just call us and we'll come out and check it out. And if they're supposed to be there, great, we'll let them go about their business. And if they're not, then we'll deal with it. So ask your help there. On a positive note, though, the deputies have been a little more proactive out in Discovery Bay during the month of February. Parking citations are up and field interview cards are up. Field interview cards, for those who don't know, are a little 3x5 card that we fill out when you call and say, hey, there's something suspicious, there's a person that I don't know, unfamiliar to the neighborhood. We contact that person, and if the person is unfamiliar, we've never met them before, don't really have any business in the neighborhood, we'll fill out an FI card, field interview card, just documenting that they were there. That way, if later on in the evening or the day turns out a crime occurred, we have someone to go back to and at least a jumping off point to start an investigation.
So those are up, which is a good thing, so we're getting more people identified that may not belong in the neighborhood. So that's good. People are calling, and that's a positive thing. Two noteworthy incidents I wanted to bring up. One, we've been fortunate, the way the Sheriff's Office training cycle works for deputies coming out to patrol from the detention division. When they get to the end of the cycle, state law mandates that they have to be in the program for a certain period of time. We can't cut them loose early. But when they get toward the end, they know enough they really could be cut loose early, but legally we're not allowed to, so we take advantage of that and treat them as sort of an extra body on the street, which then frees us up to do some things we wouldn't normally have the staff to do. So without going into detail, my staff's been running some undercover things in the evening hours and nighttime hours, focusing on some burglars, three in particular that they've identified through leads that they have. I'm pleased to report we're able to take one of them into custody. He had warrants and drugs. We didn't catch him on any stolen property, but he is known for burglaries. So the detectives are going to try to, at least say, Clay, let's make a deal with him and see if we can get him to give up some of the information on the burglaries and things, close some cases out, hopefully find the other two individuals and see how that goes. So that's been a positive thing. The other incident I'm sure everyone's curious about is the party where there were allegedly some gunshots out in Discovery Bay, down at the end of Disco Bay Boulevard. Now, the problem, I can't share much information, one, because it's an open investigation, and two, quite honestly, we don't have a lot of information. When the deputies arrived on scene, there were 10, I believe it is, interviews that were conducted that night. And of those 10, no two were the same. We had gunshots. We didn't have gunshots. We had a stabbing. We didn't have a stabbing. We had a fist fight. We didn't have a fist fight. There was a verbal argument. There wasn't a verbal argument. There was property thrown through a window. There was a shot through a window. It was started by a group of juveniles local, you know, from Discovery Bay. It was started by a group of juveniles outside of Discovery Bay. So pick your story. We don't know what the truth is, to be perfectly honest with you. And I'm sure all those people were telling the truth from their perspective, but when you have that many divergent stories, it's really hard to, you know, piece it together. The one thing that sort of worked in our favor eventually, somebody went to the hospital, and the doctor's call, the person had a gunshot wound, but not the traditional gunshot wound. It was a grazing wound. The person didn't even go to the hospital for the wound itself. They went for the infection that followed from the wound. So they called us. We interviewed him. All he would say is that it happened in the Discovery Bay area. He wouldn't even commit to saying that, so we don't know. We're pretty sure that he was involved in it, but he wouldn't talk, and we can't force him, so that's sort of where that ends. The deputies are still working on some of the individuals. We know some of them. It's obviously more difficult to get them to talk the night of a party when all their friends are around, that sort of stuff. So the deputies are still working on it, hopefully catch them one-on-one, separately, you know, and coax them into sharing a little more information than we have now. So that's about all I have on that. Unfortunately, I wish I had more to tell you, but that's where it sits at this point. So any questions? Yes, sir.
No adults on scene that had can... Did...
No. The adult homeowner was unaware of what was happening until he arrived home. Mm. And by then, everything was pretty much already done.
Yeah. Any curfews broken?
Not in that particular one, no. Unfortunately, yeah. There's also the county's party ordinance, but again, there was no good angle that we could work to really do anything, unfortunately. We also, usually a lot of the parties, we like the minors in possession of alcohol law because that gives us a lot of latitude. Just about everybody was 21, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. Or the ones we found with alcohol were 21. So we could, you know, all the angles we normally go into these with and look at to try to work a case, we just didn't have any luck this time, unfortunately.
Any comments? Any questions? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Fire district?
Fire district.
You're mixing it up.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah.
There's no order here.
Township Forest. I'm the C-Ship Township for East Contra Costa Fire. I see a lot of new faces out in the audience. And I'd like to start with my normal. Your fire district that represents your community, no one fire station is a standalone entity. Your fire protection district is an umbrella protection. So if you have an emergency, whether a fire or an actual medical emergency, A, it's important that you dial 911. Don't just drive to the firehouse because those engine companies might be out training or replacing a smoke detector battery in somebody's house. Dial 911. Second to that, if you get a fire in Discovery Bay, you will get fire engines as far away as Oakley, Bethel Island, and Antioch. So conversely, if there's a fire in Brentwood, your fire engine might be going towards Brentwood. So with that in mind, it's kind of an overlaying umbrella of protection. I'm here to actually give the calls for the month of February. There were 40 medical calls in Discovery Bay. One structure fire, two vehicle fires, one dumpster fire, three automobile accidents, three public service calls, five hazardous conditions, for a total of 55 calls for the month of February. Does anybody have any questions? It is Mustache March, and quite a bit like interpretive dance. This is my interpretation of a mustache, so just so you know.
Yeah. Incognito.
Coming up. Anybody have any questions? Thank you.
Thank you. Highway Patrol, please.
The fastest I've ever seen a move.
Before anybody can say anything.
Ran out of here.
She's supposed to be in Sacramento.
Hello, I'm Officer Godden with the Highway Patrol. And just a little bit of information from last month, what we did out here. We issued 90 citations, the majority of those for speed, and probably the biggest bulk of those speed tickets were on Newport Drive, Clipper Drive, and Discovery Bay Boulevard. We get numerous complaints from the same couple people on those three streets, or three roads anyway, and so they get the bulk of our attention. And as a matter of fact, today we issued 19 speed cites just this afternoon, starting from about 2 o'clock on, two stop sign violations and one cell phone violation. Not to say there was only one cell phone violation, I'm sure that's a pet peeve for a lot of folks, but if we focus on cell phones, we get more. If we focus on speed, we get more of those. So we were out here looking for speed and stop sign runners, and that's why those numbers are so high. And those were just today. The 90 citations, those were from February. We didn't have any traffic collisions that were reported as far as documented through our tracking system at the office. Doesn't mean there wasn't any. They may have been cleared by exchange of information or no damage or any number of reasons, but we didn't document any, and we didn't have any DUI arrests out here in Discovery Bay. That being said, there was 9 DUI arrests last month that ranged anywhere from Marsh Creek Road down Byron Highway to Byron, and then up Byron Highway all the way to Orwood and that general area. So there are DUIs being arrested out here, and some of those very well could have been crashes, but they didn't happen within Discovery Bay community. So they weren't. They wouldn't have been anything that you guys probably would have seen. And one phenomenon that we've come to notice is my partner and I that come out here and work, we usually do it 2 days a week that we're out here. And I don't know if anybody's noticed our routine, but it's about the same all the time. And so,
okay, share that with us.
Exactly. I don't know if you guys have seen we're seeing more compliance because they know we're here on Wednesdays and Thursdays. And if that's the case, then we'll start showing up on Mondays and Tuesdays. But those are the days we're out here, and that's when the bulk of those citations that I mentioned are being wrote. And what we found recently, last week and this week, is about 90% of the people we stop live here and say they're the ones calling and complaining. And then this was the comment made to me last Wednesday when I was out here, was you guys are preying upon the citizens out here. Because I stopped a guy who was about a block from his house that was doing 40 in the 25 zone. And I said, well, you know, You need to speak with your neighbors. Your neighbors are calling and complaining about the speed problem out here, and we would rather you guys handle it amongst yourselves. Really, we don't want to be out here ruining people's lives and giving them tickets next door to their neighbors. And you know, then rumors start. I saw so and so pulled over, and nobody knows. You know, and maybe they weren't wearing their seatbelt. It could be very minor. Kenny told me that, well, you guys don't show up at 10, 11 at night when the people are racing up the street. I said, you're right. I'm usually not out here at 10 or 11, but you're still doing 40 in a 25 zone. And if you weren't, you wouldn't be talking. And so I only say that it's more and more prevalent. I think they're starting to see us more often. And then when we catch them, they say, well, we're the ones that complain. Well, you know, talk to your neighbors. Keep us out of the loop. We'd be happier. We love to give you guys the enforcement, and we'll come and pay the attention that is due. But if you can work it out, talk to your neighbors, everybody would be happier, and we would get less grief, and that would be fine by me too. So that being said, that's the stats for the month. That's the newest thing. We might switch up to Tuesdays and Mondays and Tuesdays now.
Would you let staff know what your schedule's going to be?
Our cell numbers, you give us a call and let us know.
Specifically, I was working on Discovery Bay Boulevard here, and I don't know if anybody saw, I was parked on Spinnaker, which is watching the four-way stop there. And I did that for a while, and it was pretty compliant. I was surprised. And I kind of learned later on from, there's two officers that work out here every day that are signed out here, and myself and my partner, we float around the county. And they explained that the sheriff's been pretty proactive about doing some traffic enforcement, too. So it was nice to see pretty good compliance just right there. And then the speed tickets that I wrote there, I wrote 9. And they were on Discovery Bay Boulevard. So the stop sign's good, speed maybe not so good right now. But until everybody gets the hint of our routine and we switch it up, things might be better on Wednesdays and Thursdays. So that being said, if there's any questions, I'm happy to answer. And if not, you guys have any comments or questions?
No, like being out here, I did see you out on the, apparently you didn't catch them until they got onto Highway 4, because you were actually on Highway 4, yeah.
Well, yeah, I was down at Clipper, and they were doing 55 miles an hour down through there, so.
Yeah. We really appreciate what you're doing. I mean, there's a lot of kids and a lot of people enjoy walking on the streets for exercise. And, you know, I don't know why it's so hard for people to go 25 or close to 25. And I would just say as the weather gets better, more people are out and about. And you know, I'm more cognizant when I'm driving around that, you know, we've got skinny roads around here. So we definitely appreciate your service out here.
And I believe last time I was here, there was the issue raised about the kids commuting to high school on Highway 4. We've been out a couple times in the morning. We haven't seen anything that's seriously blatant yet, but we are out there in the morning, me specifically. I usually come out on Fridays and Monday mornings early to catch the high school kids coming in. I haven't caught the very violation that you described, but just so you know, we are coming out at that time.
So that's great.
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Supervisor's office?
Good evening. I see John Oberon from the Department of Conservation. Department of Conservation and Development is here as well. So you got a couple county staffers here with you. For those of you that don't know me, since there's a lot more of you that are normally here, I'm Karen Cornell. I am Supervisor Pico's East County Field Representative. I am dedicated to the Discovery Bay community, so if you have any issues, please call me. We'll see what we can do. I let you guys know last month, but I'm going to remind you, Supervisor Pico is continuing to advocate on the Delta, and she is going the end of next week to Washington, D.C. To meet with several different individuals, so I'll have an update for you at your April meeting. Another reminder, our office has moved. Our new office in Brentwood is located at 3361 Walnut Boulevard, Suite 140. You can still reach us at the same phone number. And then just two FYIs for your community. The Board of Supervisors will be having a Cesar Chavez celebration at their meeting on March 27th at 11 o'clock. And then also, I know there's a lot of interest with regards to EBART, and they will have a presentation at their meeting this Tuesday from Ellen Smith, who works on EBART. So if you guys want to tune into the board meeting, they typically start around 9:30. Presentations are usually between 9:30 and 10, but can, you know, go until 11. So If you have interest in EBART, I would tune into the board meeting this Tuesday. And that is it for me.
I'm good to go.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Karen.
Appreciate it. All right, we'll go into committee and liaison reports.
I don't see...
Transplant?
Is Dwayne Steele here?
No.
Okay, well, the transplant meeting is actually tomorrow night, so if it didn't get reported,
nothing
to report.
No problem. Any update, county planning?
Yeah, John O'Warren from the County Department of Conservation Development is here to discuss, I believe, the EIR on Pantages.
Yes, good evening. My name is John O'Horn. I'm with the Planning Department at Contasa County. Actually, I'm here to give you an update on three projects in the Discovery Bay area. One of them is Pantages. There's the Pantages project, the Newport Point project, and the village at Discovery Bay. So I wanted to update you on those three.
Excuse me, John, can you use the microphone?
Oh, sure.
Thank you.
First of all, the Pantages project. Last year, about this time, I reported to you that we were conducting an environmental review on that. We're almost done. Within the next month or two, an EIR is, the county anticipates releasing it for public review. It would be released for a 45-day public comment period. We'll send you a couple of copies. We'll send you a CD, and it'll also be on the county website so that anybody can view it and comment on it to the county. And like I said, that would be in the next month or two, so we're almost done on that. Newport Point would be, we're also kind of concluding the environmental document on that, and that should be in a couple of months or shortly thereafter, because we've been working on it since that period in last year also. And lastly, the village at Discovery Bay. That project there isn't any environmental review being done yet. The application is not complete. And the applicant, as of a month or so ago, has indicated to the county there might be revisions to the plan. They have not indicated what those revisions are, and so there's no information that we have of a change as of yet. So, do you have any questions?
With regards to Discovery Bay West, Village 4 and 5, has Hoffman indicated that there's going to be any activity out there at this point?
No, there has been no indication of activity out there.
Okay. Thank you.
Hoffman did submit the development plans for their four-lot model home complex.
That was a couple months ago.
And that's working its way through our process right now. And once that's done, it will be moved over to the county. So you'll be seeing that shortly.
Okay. Thank you.
Overall, just give me a sense of the activity for developers in the county. Is there more starts this year than?
Not really. As you know, with the economy, the downturn in the economy, the applications to the county have slowed considerably. There's been little, if any, activity for the larger subdivisions, especially. We've had signs in the last month. There's approved subdivisions that haven't been built yet, and people have expressed interest. What do I need to do to get started? But no onslaught of applications or activity in that way. Mm-hmm. So it's still slow.
All right. Well, we really appreciate you coming out tonight.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for your time, John.
Thank you. Code enforcement.
There was a code enforcement meeting this last month. I attended that at Supervisor Pipo's office. The same items, generally speaking, that we discuss month to month. Stored vehicles on properties, trailers parked in driveways, and signage that needs to be updated and maintained properly, specifically the signage for the development projects in Discovery Bay West that are, if you've seen those signs, they're fading. They need to be maintained. They should probably be removed. So code enforcement is working with the developer of those projects to hopefully either improve the quality of their looks or to remove them temporarily until they're ready to start building.
Good. Yeah, no tired signs. Any questions you guys have on code enforcement? Any update on special districts?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, moving on. I'd like to move item K to the next item. And yeah, I would say no. I'd like to move forward to legal, please.
Thank you, President Steele, board members. As you'll recall, at the last meeting, I had reported to you that on February 6th, Director Dawson had resigned his position effective that date, thus leaving a vacancy on this board. In accordance with state law, you have three options available to you to fill those. The first is to appoint somebody. Should you choose to appoint somebody, you must do so prior to April 6th, which is the 60th day. It can be on April 6th, on or before April 6th. If you want to appoint somebody, before you do so, you are required to post a notice that you're going to appoint somebody and post that notice in three places at least 15 days before the day that you're going to appoint. Thus, if you want to make a decision on appointment, the notice must be posted 2 days after one day after your next regular meeting. So that will be your deadline to decide if you don't decide tonight. Your other alternative is on or before April 6th, decide to fill the vacancy by an election. And as I explained to you at the last meeting, the election would occur in November, which is where your regular election would be. It would not be a special election. The code is very specific on its calculations of how early it can be, and I went through that at the last meeting, and happy to do it again if you want. But the bottom line is that the election would occur during the general election in November. Your third option is to do nothing. If for whatever reason you do not want to make a decision on the other two, or you're unable to because it takes a majority vote, if you do not make that decision on or before April 6th, then automatically the Board of Supervisors has 90 days thereafter to fill the vacancy by appointment, or in the alternative, they could order an election, and of course the election would occur in November. At your last meeting, you elected to forego making a decision on a procedure and had directed staff to inform the public that you were looking for those who might be interested in appointment, and then invited them here tonight in order to answer any questions. There is no required procedure for you to follow, but I want to remind you again, in the event that you do want to appoint somebody, you cannot do it tonight. You would have to post the notice at least 15 days out. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
I'm good. Thank you, Council.
Thank you. So what do you, Ray, do you have any input on, do you want to talk about appointing and talk to some candidates tonight?
Well, we had people come here. I thought we were going to listen. Maybe
Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public, after the board provided direction to staff at the last meeting, we did put out a notice to the community. The press did a notice in their paper as well. I did receive approximately 10 or 11 inquiries of interest, and I placed before you this evening, and there are copies in the back of the room, those letters of interest from those individuals that are interested in serving out the term up until the next election, which is in November. And so those are there for you to review. So if you have any questions on that, I'd be more than happy to answer them.
All right. Okay.
I'd like to suggest to the board that, you know, if whoever's here tonight, we could give them a couple minutes to introduce themselves, you know, how long you lived here, you know, what's important or why do you want to serve. So if you don't mind, I'd like to bring that forward.
Yes.
Okay. I'm just going to go in the order that I have a list here. Is Mr. Hal Bailey in the room?
Lights.
Hal Bailey? Mr. Bruce Hall, can you come to the podium, please?
Hey.
Welcome.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Yep.
Somebody who knows me. Mr. Graves, I've not met you. I know you by reputation.
Oh, thank you, sir. I guess.
But yeah, you did get a citizen of the year. That's pretty impressive.
Thank you.
Some people have asked me why I would even consider this. In fact, they questioned my sanity based on some of the media attacks and even President's verbal attacks at the board. As I look back over the last two or three years, most of those media items really haven't referred in any way to basic responsibilities of the board. I'm talking here about water, sewage treatments, recreation, the big money items. In fact, if you look at the history, it's pretty good. There's really not much to complain about. As far as my resume is concerned, you've got it. I think everyone else in the room has it now. I didn't realize that was going to happen. Obviously, I've got a lot of strength in the budgeting and fiscal management area. And I have, in fact, read your budget. It's pretty impressive. And pretty big. It looks like you've got some challenges there on the capital side. You'll also notice I've been involved in my local communities everywhere I've been. I've lived in 17 homes in four different countries since I got married 45 years ago. This is now my adopted home, and I'd like to become more involved in the community. I've got three generations of my family here now. My wife and I, my daughter, my grandchildren. And I'm interested in seeing the infrastructure maintained for them. I'm interested in seeing safety maintained. I was here last week at the fire department meeting, or the fire district meeting, which unfortunately was very poorly attended. But the fact is, they had a pretty scary story. And much as I hate taxes, new taxes, the fact is, there's folks who have a problem and it needs to get fixed. There will always be people who might have fire protection. I'm interested in not only the basics of what this board does, I know you're fairly limited in scope as to real powers. You certainly have a large sphere of influence. I'm a boater. I'm interested in water quality. I'm interested in maintaining the area denser program, which was very successful last year. Where I put my boat tied up right now, it was surrounded by weeds last year, and now it's completely clear. I'd love to see it that way, and I'd love to encourage the state to continue it. I think it will. Why would I want to serve on this board? I think I have something to offer. I'm semi-retired at this point. I've been in corporate life most of my life, but I've also served on a number of county boards, volunteer boards. You know how it works. Sometimes drive you crazy, but at the end of the day, hopefully something is done. And hopefully I look forward to working with you.
Any questions or comments? Okay, thank you
very much. Come on in the meeting. Mr. Marshall Harris, please. Good evening. My name is Marshall Harris. As you all know, you have my application. I live out in Discovery Bay West, as you call it. I live in the lakes. I sit on the board. I'm on my second term with the board there. I'm also on the landscape committee. I've worked with several different landscape people that have gone through the lakes and now are part of the county. I sit on the board because I want to make an impact in our community. I'm applying for this position because I think that I have something to offer, and I think the board and the county has something to offer me. I would go through a learning phase, of course, and learning everything that I could possibly learn concerning our community. There are some things that I may disagree with, some things that I think we can improve upon, and nothing is perfect. As I mentioned, I've lived in the Lakes for now 5, going on 6 years, and I've served on the board for 4 of those years. The developer and I go head in head, that's Hoffman, of course. Community center is a big pet peeve of mine. I know about the Delta. I read upon things that are going on around us. If the board would have it, I would love to be a part of, a little bit more a part of the community in general, as a whole. Thank you for your time.
I got a question.
Yes.
What do you, how do you envision a community center in the town?
Well, that's twofold. If the community center is placed in Discovery Bay, I think that it would be an asset to part of the community. Being where I live, there's going to be 1,200 plus homes there. I think we should have a community center for those 1,200 people. I don't think one community center will be the answer for our entire community. I think in part because of the seniors here, the retirees here, and the families that we have here that are growing, I think that another community center is going to be necessary. That's why I vie for community centers. I think it's a plus for us all. I'm retired. I have the time to spend with the elderly, not to say that I'm not there, but also with the youth. I make it a point to be a part of the community and associated with a lot of the people. And they ask me, what are we going to do with? And so there's the community center part.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Actually, no, Marshall, I know you live here full time. Bruce, do you live here full time?
Yes, I do.
Thanks. I was going to ask
All right.
That.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
All right. Mr. Jim Madison.
How are we doing? Jim Madison. I've lived here since 1996. As most of you know, I've been heavily involved with the community, with CYO basketball forever and ever, the Lions Club for a long, long time, the Byron Unified School District. I've been involved with those guys forever and ever as well, a lot of on the sporting side. Now I will not be working with the CYO anymore, so I would like to devote a lot of my time towards furthering our goals with Discovery Bay. I know there's a lot of different things that need to be done. Ray, for example, and Kevin are heavily involved in the water and sewage, and I'd like to be a part of that as well. Other things that I'd like to do is, again, being on the community center committee, seeing that through as much as we can. I think other things that I can bring to the table is, since I am heavily involved in the community, bringing a lot of people together, a lot of the sporting stuff together. I know with the school district, for example, I've talked to Ken Giacopetti about forming a joint usage between the community and the school. I've done that in the past with Eric. Everyone's very open to that. So I think just being here in the community, as long as I've been here in the community, I definitely have a lot to offer. Questions?
Not for me.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Midge Moser.
That's me.
Hello.
Welcome. I have just had my knee replaced about a month ago, so I'm a little bit hands up.
Hi.
Hi. Nice to be here tonight. I have to apologize as that I did not, since I had this knee done about a month ago, I've been battling that and haven't been writing down my qualifications to get to the OUC people. I have been on many, many boards in my career, which was mainly as a real estate broker in Los Gatos, Saratoga, 40 years there. I ran my own business, and have retired the last 10 years and have lived in Discovery Bay last 10 years. I was on the board of directors of River Ridge Homeowners Association during the La Mirada earthquake. We had a private water district at the time, and of course all of that was destroyed during that earthquake. So I have a great deal of experience with the state, the county, and the city. We brought water, city water from Los Gatos up Highway 17 to the summit. And I was a big part of getting that done. It was a real trial, but we got it done. And it also hooked up to our water, what we could save of our water district, and also several other people, other districts in the summit area. I am interested in the water, and I'd like to see it as clear as it is this year. It's wonderful. Thank you all for getting that done. And I'm very interested in working and to procure that as a goal for Discovery Bay. I have a lot of experience to bring to the board, and I will be writing all that down and getting it to you. But it would be an honor to work with all of you. Thank you.
Just a second. Any questions? What do you think are our greatest challenges as a community in Discovery Bay right now with the economy the way it is?
Are you talking about real estate?
Maybe.
Well, that's a problem.
Yeah, what can we do?
That's a problem. Well, I think actually the good press that is coming out and praising you all, and how tightly that you've run the district so far, and the decisions that you've made have been solid. And I think that will do the real estate industry good things to come. Okay. People will be looking for some place where they know, and real estate people know.
Well, come on out and come to our meetings. I look forward to talking to you more. Thank you.
Mr. Bill Peace.
Directors, town manager. Bill Peace, I've been a homeowner here in Discovery Bay for 11 years. Recently retired, so I'm here full time now. Enjoying the community much more than I have when I was only able to be here on the weekend. A little bit of background about myself. I'm married for 40 plus years to my wife. We have three adult children, a couple grandkids. I owned my own business for about 30 years, so I have a business sense of what it takes to from a budget standpoint. I'm also a former elected official with the city of Fremont. I was on the city council for 8 years, so I have a good insight into how the process works. Budgeting, which I think is one of the greatest things that you're in charge with. You can't fix things if you don't have the funding, and you get pulled and tugged in all different directions from not only the community, but just the operations side. We didn't think this was going to break this month. So how do we make that happen? So that's something that I think I have the ability to help with as far as analyzing the limited resources that you have. I think that it's you do a very good job, and I was very pleased to see the input from the other districts, the Highway Patrol, the Sheriff's Department, Fire. So I think that relationship is very good, and especially having a good relationship with the supervisor's office helps tremendously. And I think that there's a lot of things that can possibly be done to take a look and press the county from a funding standpoint. I think one of the things if I was to be honored to be selected, would try to discuss with the manager, yourselves, what's the analysis of how much the taxpayers, the property owners, our property tax that are going to the county, and what are we getting back in return? And is that fair and equitable? Some of the, in Fremont, we found out the bus service, we were paying for it and weren't getting anything, so we were able to make a big change. And I don't know if that's true or not here, but I think it's because of the budget standpoint that you're going through now, it's going to continue for at least another couple of years, that's an area that maybe we could take a look at, do some things. So anyway, I'm a firm believer in community involvement. You can't solve the problem if you don't talk about the problem and if you don't participate in problem solving. It's easy to stay at home and complain. It's difficult to be elected and have the things said and done that you know you can try to fix and do, and so I admire your service. I've been there. But I think at this particular point, to be able to come in kind of running, because I have the past experience that I have, and take us through till November, and then let the community decide what they want to do at that particular point, I'd be very honored to serve with you.
I got a question. Regarding the DBPOA, how's that going with the DBPOA, and do you have any ideas on how we can improve our interaction in the community?
Well, I think one easy way, I've been on the Design and Environmental Review Committee, and I raised my hand, I guess, so they made me chairman. There's been a lot of tussle with that organization. I think now that the leadership that's there really cares, I think some of the political issues are trying and going away. I think one way to help solve that, and I would recommend that all of the different property owner associations have a spokesperson, if you will, come to your meetings, just like we have with the fire department and police, et cetera, and maybe just give a two-minute update. And that would, I was amazed at the amount of property owner associations that we have here. So to get everyone talking on the same page and then working with the elected board, I think would enhance the community tremendously.
Yeah.
And kind of open up a lot of ears. I think there's room for improvement. I think there's ways to make that happen.
And what's your position on the DBPOA today?
Chairman of the Design and Environmental Review Committee, kind of the code enforcement thing that you're looking at.
When does that end?
I guess whenever.
Do you have time to do
it? Oh, yeah, that's not a problem. They're only meeting twice a month, just like yourself, so it's not there's no major commitment there. It's not a weekly issue. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Tony Ragani?
Hi, board. I guess I'm here today. I moved out here with my wife about 2 years ago, full-time residence here. I think I'm probably the least experienced, let's use that word here, applying today. I have never been a member of a board, never been a member of any elected official, but everyone's going to start sometime, start somewhere. So I'm here today to kind of look at this. My personal life, I'm basically I'm a businessman. I work for a company, I run millions of dollars, I do budgets, I manage guys. I'm a technology guy. I do a lot of technology, I automate companies. I've done many wastewater treatment plants, water treatment plants, and I totally automate them, do all that. So that's where I come from, my experience. I also have I'm a real estate broker. I have my own company doing that too on the side. I kind of bring more of an enthusiastic, I think, energy here. Last year my daughter was born and kind of made me change my view on life and said, you know, just before it was all about myself, now it's more about, you know, I want to build this community for my daughter. I've got a son on the way too now, so building the whole family here. So I kind of really want to look at Discovery Bay and take a look at from a younger point of view, from the children coming up, and I really want to make that into a place that they want to grow up and be here. Me and my wife, you know, we love it here. Always want to move out here. Got a lot of friends that I want to move out here too because of it. It's a beautiful place, beautiful community, and you guys have done a great job so far. So I'm looking to the board. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Toby Ronquillo. This is Toby?
Okay.
Mr. Jonathan Silver.
Good evening, board, general manager. I'm very interested in improving our community, and that's why I'm interested on being on the board. I run a very large operation. It's millions of dollars and have P&L responsibility and am involved in the budgeting process every year. Also, I'm involved with running over 100 people that I interact with on a regular basis and have three unions and have to deal with state, city, and federal organizations as it relates to the business that I run. I've been here a little over 4 years and plan on retiring here. I love our community. I love the quality of life that my family and I have here. And that's why I'm very interested in working with the board and with the general manager, as well as with the public, in improving the community that we live in today. That's why I'm here today. Any questions?
What do you think our biggest challenge today is as the town?
Our biggest challenge at the moment would be the infrastructure and how we're going to get it paid for. That's what I believe it is.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Diane Stewart, please.
Good evening, board. My name is Diane Stewart, and I am a resident of Discovery Bay. I have lived here for the past 3 years, right on the golf course. It's a lovely home. I want to be on the board because I want to be invested in the town of Discovery Bay. I have a 3-year-old son who I have put into the Discovery Bay Play School since he was the age of 2, and I've been involved with the teachers, principals of that school, this Discovery Bay Elementary School. And I find that this is a unique community, a very unique community. I first got attracted to Discovery Bay in 2004 when they were offering the development over by Timber Point. And, I mean, it was my dream home. How can you beat a 3-story, 7-bedroom, 5-bathroom house that looks like a French chalet? It was everything I was looking for. And it was reasonably priced at $420,000 back in 2004. I'm out of here. I was living in Fremont. My family thinks I'm crazy for moving out here. They're like, you're away. You got nothing around you. You have no shops. You have no transportation. And I tell them, I said, I've always lived like that. I grew up in San Jose in the 70s, you know, when it was Orchard Fields. My high school, I was the 12th graduating class, the 12th year of the high school. So I was very excited when I saw that sign that says you guys are looking to build a high school here. So I'm very interested in that project. I'm very interested in bringing public transportation to Discovery Bay, whether or not it's in conjunction with the county or our own unique system that connects to the county. Because again, I would love to keep the uniqueness of Discovery Bay. I'm very interested in having retail come to Discovery Bay so that we can be like a Marin, where people come and you have these extremely sophisticated, unique shops, dining facilities, but then at the end of the day, they go home. And leave our community to its quaintness and its safety. I've been a business owner for the last 7 years. I own my own accounting, bookkeeping, tax firm company. I've worked with small businesses, medium-sized businesses, and corporations. I've also worked with the city of Oakland. I used to be the finance manager at the Oakland Eye Center. So I know how to work with large governments and how to interact with government. I study political science at UCLA. It's been quite a few years. But I'm very involved in politics. I stay abreast of the issues that are going on in our local community, our state community, and our national community. As a matter of fact, you'll see the signs eventually, but I am actually also going to be putting my name on the ballot to run for U.S. Senate this year against Dianne Feinstein. But I would not want that to prohibit you from letting me be on the board. You know, because, you know, that election is a totally different thing. But it shows my aspirations are grandiose. Let's see, what else can I tell you about myself? The reason about the reason I want to have our own public transportation system, I know a lot of people that live out in Byron that, you know, that bus only comes out here 2 times a day. And at one point when my car went down, I had to get up at 5 in the morning and walk the 2 miles over to Bixler to get the bus. And on one occasion, the bus passed me by and I lost a job. You know, and I was very upset. I called Tri-Delta, which they accommodated me for it. But at the same time, it's like, you know, there's got to be other people in my situation. I have my mother that lives with me. She'll be 65 this year, so she'll finally qualify to have the bus that comes out to let her go do some things. Anyway, I won't talk to you.
Any questions?
What high school did you graduate from?
Santa Teresa High School. I also like to mention that I'm well-traveled. I do still compete competitively in ice skating, which we still have competitions in France, Germany, Russia. So the reason I know about the quaintness is because I've been to a lot of those countries, and I see how we can build our town to look like that and bring a different flair that Brentwood doesn't provide, and Antioch doesn't provide, and Oakley doesn't provide.
Small town.
Mm-hmm. Well, we appreciate you coming out tonight. Thank you very
much. Thank you.
Mr. Frank Visenton.
Hi, good evening. Yeah, quite an impressive group to choose from. I've lived in Discovery Bay with my family. Am I talking to you? Since 1989. We've watched the community grow. I would like to see it, and my family would like to see it turn into a city, and I would like to help to get it there. I've been in business for myself now since 1995. Prior to that, I worked for Bank of America for a number of years, but while in business for myself, I've been just consulting to Fortune 500 companies and recently to the Department of Motor Vehicles. Mainly that was to streamline, make shops efficient. I've looked at budgets, I've looked at the worst F audits they've had, and that's probably what, that's genuinely what I asked for. Show me your F audit and just leave me alone if you do my thing. I guess that's about it. You've got my resume. I've done my write-up. I've been active here in the community with the DDPOA, the coalition for the DDPOA, which is the opposite side of the DDPOA. And my wife has helped out in the schools here, and our kids have attended the schools here. Any questions?
Good.
At this time, I'd like to open for public comment. Please come up and to the podium if you have any comments. I'd like to close public comment this time.
Any further discussion on?
This is something we're trying to decide how we want to move forward.
Any further discussion?
Yes.
All in favor, please
say aye. We've got two options here.
Yes.
So the option is that we appoint. Second option is that we fill by election, or we do nothing. Are we prepared to make a decision?
Doing nothing would be a mistake. So we either need to appoint or we need to decide to let it go to the election in November. The concerns that I have, and I voiced this the other night, if we appoint somebody in April, and by the time you get them seated and get their feet, which is another 30, 45 days, in the middle of what I believe is going to be a contentious budget again this year, and then you have a person who's going to be part of that, and then they're going to be up for election again. And I mean, I still feel that we should wait till November and have an election. That's just my feel. I don't think we're doing anybody a favor putting them on for a short period to throw in the middle of the budget.
Council, can you just remind us what the obligation is for if somebody was to be appointed? What's their time commitment as far as the term? Right now, it's
still November.
Yes. Since Director Dawson resigned in the first half of his term, by law, anybody who would be appointed to fill the vacancy would fill the term through the election in November. Assuming they wanted to remain in that seat, if you appointed them to it, they would have to run for election and get elected.
Point of order on that, Council, wouldn't they actually be seated until the end of December? Because so there's another month that would be, we don't seat until December, middle of December.
Correct. My point was that if they wanted to fill out the remaining 2 years of the term, they would have to run for election and win.
Absolutely. I'm just making the point that it really is, we're talking the second meeting in December, that the seat will actually remain vacant. So that's a full 9 months of having the seat vacant from this period forward.
Not to interrupt you, but we normally don't have a second meeting in December, and the first meeting is usually, the last few years, December has been a very quiet, not much really happened. November's pretty much where most of the activity is. I mean, this is just my opinion. Everybody's going to have their own. I don't think we're doing anybody a favor dragging it for 5 months or 6 months.
What do you think, Kevin?
Well, as somebody that was appointed for a partial term, I served exactly a year. I was appointed in December and ran for election the following December. I think that there was plenty of experience that was gained in that period of time. I also think that we just shouldn't leave the seat vacant for that long. We're a board of five, and I think we should be a board of five.
I would go with the election.
I think the community is looking to us to have a full board and run it at full capacity, and so my preference would be that we run as a full board. We all have got commitments inside and outside, but first we've got a community to take care of here, and I think it takes a full board to make proper decision on behalf of the community. So at this time, I'd like to make a motion that we appoint prior to April 6th. Any second on that?
I'll second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed?
Opposed? No.
You're in favor?
Yeah.
Okay. It's unanimous. We are going to move forward with the appointment process.
I just gave you my feelings. I didn't say we can go on with the board.
I have a question for you. You're required to identify the date in which you plan to be making your appointment. Your next meeting is less than 15 days away. Do you want to schedule a special meeting, or do you want to have the appointment occur at your next regular meeting in April, which would be the 4th?
So just for point of clarification, because I think I was listening carefully to your earlier counsel, if we make that decision today, we're well in within that 15-day, and we can actually have an opportunity, although we can't talk much amongst ourselves about what we've heard. We could talk with people that have come forward from the community, and then if any other people of interest come forward between now and the second March meeting, they could speak, and we can make the decision at the April 4th meeting. Is that correct?
That's correct. All you're doing now is selecting the date that you're going to make the appointment and then direct staff to post the notices timely. And then at that meeting, again, there's no required procedure for applications or what have you. You would make your decision at that meeting.
Do we need to make a motion for that date to be? Then I would move that we make an appointment at the April 4th meeting.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Unanimous. All right. Thank you, Board. All right. Let's bring us back onto our schedule here.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent calendar.
Second.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any final discussion? Consent. At this time, I'd like to turn it over to General Manager regarding new business.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public. The item before you tonight is the adoption of a budget calendar for the 2012-2013 fiscal year. We've identified three dates to come to the board. On May the 2nd, staff intends to transmit the budget to the board. By transmitting it, it's basically a handoff to the board. It's going to be out there for public review, for board review. We would come back 2 weeks later at the 16th. We would present the draft. We would then present the budget to the board, the entire budget to the board at that time. And then we're proposing to adopt it on June the 6th. It has to be adopted by June 30th. And this gives us a little bit of extra time. If the board would like to conduct a board workshop, we can certainly work that in. There's plenty of time in the calendar to do that. It's just at the board's discretion and pleasure if they want to move in that direction. So with that, we're looking for direction and input from the board.
Comment, suggestion?
I just want to thank staff for listening to the board as we expressed concerns last year with it being right tight to a deadline without giving us an opportunity to really evaluate as well. And I'm not saying it was anybody's fault, but I just appreciate, I know that the budget committee was under some real rigid guidelines, but we also had some contract issues. But thank you for being proactive and putting this forward in a very timely manner so that we can have time to really consider exactly where we're going. Appreciate that.
You're welcome, and that was the specific reason why we moved it up and gave it a little bit extra time.
Director Simon?
Are we going to put a budget committee again this year?
That is at the pleasure of the board. We can certainly do that. Staff is certainly prepared and would be more than happy to work with the commission.
Okay. I
can put that on the next agenda.
Is there an action to be taken here on this item?
Just to adopt the budget calendar.
So moved.
And just so the board knows, I'm sorry, Vice President Graves, the calendar can always be amended. So it's just something that these are the dates that we need to use to back into the budget.
Okay. Public comment, please. Anybody have any comment? No public comment? Okay. Let's move forward on that.
It takes a vote.
No, sorry. Excuse me. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Rick, you're going to put the budget committee on the next agenda.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
The next item for board consideration this evening is the award of a contract to Vintage Contractors for the Regatta Park basketball surfacing project. At the last board meeting, the board authorized the surface at the renovated tennis courts over at Cornell Park. This is the same company doing the same surface. We discussed it at the last meeting. It's in the budget. It's part of the budget. For the project, due to the rainy season, as much as the rainy season we've had this year, it got pushed back a little bit because when they were getting ready to do it through the county process, we did have a little bit of rain a couple weeks ago, so they were unable to move that forward, and the county has asked us to go ahead and manage this portion of the contract. So that's why it's before you now instead of previously. The bid did come in at $10,280. And they are a sole source provider on this, just as they were for Cornell Park. If you have any questions, we'd be happy to answer them.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve the contract for $10,280.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Excuse me. Sorry, public comment, please. All those in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous.
The next item for board consideration this evening is to award a contract with Stockton Fence and Material for the Cornell Park Tennis Court Chain Link Fence Plate Replacement Project. This is part of the overall project for Cornell Park Tennis Court renovations. We discussed this a little bit at the last meeting. We did go out and get four different bids. The lowest responsible bidder
with Stockton Fence at $10,038. And with the bid, with the alternate number one, an additional $41.76 for a total of $14,214. The highest bid on the project was Vintage at $39,190. Was quite a discrepancy between the two. The staff is comfortable with the bids, and we're looking forward to board approval on this project.
I'll make that motion. I think the motion to award the contract is...
Public comment, please.
I have a question.
Please come to the podium.
Okay.
My question being that if Vintage and item number two, you awarded their contract to surface the basketball court at a $10,000 total, somewhere in there, right? And then Stockton Fence is going to charge $10,000 to do these just chain link fence? Is that what it says here? Am I reading that correctly? How large is the basketball court?
It's not a basketball court.
The chain link fence is for two tennis courts. It's the fencing surrounding the two tennis courts.
Okay.
It's a fabric. It's a coated fencing. It's new poles, new fencing. The bid through the prior item was not fencing; it was court surfacing.
Right.
It's the texture that goes on the concrete.
Okay.
And they are sole source provider of the product. So if we want that product, which we do want to have,
mm-hmm.
they're the only company in this region that we can purchase it from.
Okay, so surfacing the basketball court, my question is this. Is it just a plain surface, or is it a good surface that they're putting in now?
It's a painted surface, but it's a textured surface with a, I believe it's a 7-year life. So it's not technically a paint. I mean, it is a paint, but it's a paint texture.
It's a coating.
It's a coating.
Like a slurry coat? No?
It's thinner than that, I think.
Thinner?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, just curious, because we're getting ready to do the same thing. I was just curious as to...
You know, if you have questions, give Farron a call.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other comments?
Okay. I'll make the motion we award the contract to Stockton Fence Material for Cornell Park Tennis Court Chain Link Fence not to exceed $14,214.
I'll second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Just one quick comment. Thank Farron. I don't think Farron's here tonight, is she?
Yeah.
Thank her for putting that summary together so we had a great... Exactly what we asked for. It's my attaboy night. So
she owes me because she, at the last minute, took some time off work, and I told her I would get it from her later
but
covering these items for her. But yes.
Thanks for the summary.
I will pass that along. Yeah.
Appreciate it.
The next item, again, one of Farron's items, is award of contract to Odyssey Landscaping for the Cornell Park Horseshoe Pits in the amount of $10,230. This is an item we discussed a number of times. It's in the current year's budget for Zone 8. If you recall, we budgeted $25,000 to renovate the horseshoe pits and also to do the bocce ball courts. We're going to go ahead and do the bocce ball courts in-house, so we'll have some significant cost savings there. And this item at $10,230 came in below the staff's estimate of $15,000. So we would recommend board authorization on that. And Odyssey is already an approved vendor with the district, and they do a significant amount of work for us in other parts of town. If you have any questions, be more than happy to answer them.
I was over there this weekend inspecting those areas. Are they going to completely tear out the existing horseshoe pits?
No, they're going to use the same spots, same places, but they're just going to renovate them.
What do they do with the concrete?
They have to tear some of the concrete out.
$2,500?
Because of ADA, there's some ADA issues over there. So we need to tear some of the concrete out and then renovate it.
Yeah, I still had a dry rot there. I mean, that was pretty used up.
We were really happy with the bid on this. We estimated it to be about $15,000, like I said, and it came in about $5,000 below that.
And it's all going to be regulation? Or
total regulation.
It's going to
be tournament. To tournament specifications, yes.
Good, all right. I look forward to playing.
As will the bocce ball courts that we're going to be doing internally.
I look forward to having a horseshoe club there.
Okay.
All right. Any public comments?
Move for accepting the bid as proposed.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous.
The next item before you this evening is the job descriptions for all of the town employees, district employees. One of the things, when I arrived on site here almost 2 years ago, in reviewing the job descriptions, was the need to update and upgrade them. So we've been working very, very hard on this project for quite some time. Staff has spent a considerable amount of time vetting these. We worked with a consultant on it to help us develop the initial plan, the initial, if you will, a lot of the boilerplate language that needs to go in there to be compliant with state law, to protect the district with respect to liability issues, workers' comp claims, things like that. And so they are extremely comprehensive as you go, if you go through them. You've actually already approved the one for the finance manager when that position was authorized last year. I've included it again without, there's not been any changes made to it, but just so you have the entire package here. If you have any questions regarding any of them, I'd be more than happy to address them. They're specifically set up to, for example, in the office administrative assistant category, there's now a career ladder, if you will, between the office assistant, the administrative assistant, the executive assistant. In the parks and maintenance areas, there's a parks and maintenance worker one, a parks and maintenance worker two. So those are all now built in into the new job descriptions. And like I said, we spent a lot of time on them, and hopefully we have board authorization to get them approved this evening.
I just wanted to commend you for that. I started reading this over the weekend.
Okay. A lot of reading.
You did a great job. This is the descriptions are excellent. I mean, it's a nice step forward for us.
Very comprehensive.
Great job on us.
I just have a question about the education experience, and we use the term any combination of training experience that provide knowledge and skills and ability, and the manager positions, I think we should require a college degree. Now, if somebody's already in the position, then that, I would say, not, that doesn't count. But I'm going forward, I just think that's something we probably should look at.
Any comment?
That is certainly the discretion of the board to include that. And the only one that's in there that requires it is my position. The other managers do not. Certainly moving forward, that's something that we can request, and we can make that change.
These are minimums.
You know, a lot of people, for example, gain experience by working their way up through the field and maybe not with a degree. That's certainly the discretion of the board to move in that direction if you'd like to do so.
Ray, you're saying in which positions are you?
The manager's positions, the manager of sewer and water, finance manager.
Or equivalent experience?
Well, that's what it reads already.
For the water wastewater, it does require that.
Water wastewater?
Yeah, and let me look back at the...
Which one does it? And which doesn't?
The landscape manager one does as well. I've been literally working on these for a year, and sometimes I don't recall every specific nuance because they are so comprehensive. But all the managers do require the graduation from accredited 4-year college or university.
Or equivalent experience.
So it's an equivalent. It doesn't say that.
It says
equivalent. So, you know, it says yes, but... You couldn't, so that's my point. Equivalent to graduation, four-year college.
I'm very okay with the equivalent.
Yeah, somebody might have 20 years experience, and
I shouldn't speak out loud. I won't say what I was going to say. But it might keep us from having people in place that we currently have in place.
I'm throwing it out there. I mean,
I understand. I just
agree with
this. I think that we should.
It's kind of a standard. I was a manager. I never graduated from college, so
Hypocrite.
I knew it.
I'm okay with the language as it reads. I think you guys have done a great job.
Any public comment, please?
You're alone here, Ray.
Oh, I feel my pain.
All right. Thank you. No comment. Would you like to make a motion?
Yeah, I'll make the motion. We approve the Town of Discovery Bay Community Service District job description.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
And I do want to, Virgil's here. He's in the back room. And Dina's over here. And Carol's here. And all the entire staff worked really hard on this project. It was a long time-consuming process. I want to recognize all their efforts for that.
It's a great document.
Another attaboy.
The next item is a mid-year. It's a fiscal year 2011-2012 mid-year operating and CIP budget summary report. Before Dina gets into her report, what I'd like to mention is, last year when I brought this report to the board, you'll recall that there were a number of items specifically on the in the operating budget that caused concern. Remember, the utilities were under budgeted. Some of our maintenance items with respect to, you know, we get the water leaks throughout the course of the year. It's our maintenance fund, our maintenance account, as well as our account for chemicals to treat our water. And based upon the work that the Budget Review Committee did last year, as well as the actions that this board took, I'm pleased to say that we don't have any of those issues this year. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Dina Brightstein, our finance manager.
Hello. Okay. So fiscal year 2011-2012 operating and capital improvement program budgets are overall on target to meet the revenue and expenditure projections for the year ending in 2012. Projected revenues of $5.9 million are expected to reach anticipated levels. Expenditures in operations and maintenance budget are expected to reach the target of $4.425 million. Expenditures in capital are anticipated to reach $1.39 million of the adopted $1.56 million budget. $275,000 of the capital budget is expected to be spent within the first quarter of the next fiscal year. The operations and maintenance budget. There are three areas of concern where the operating budget will modestly exceed expenditure projections. One is information system maintenance. This was due to unanticipated IT assistance necessary for staff. The 2010-11 budget was $1,000 with a year in actual of $5,400. In 11-12, the anticipated budget was $2,500. However, it is trending to approach year-end actuals at about $14,000. This is due to increased costs associated with the town's website and internet that was not anticipated. An additional $7,000 will be required for the second half of the fiscal year. Staff will make internal adjustments and no budget amendment will be necessary. The second area is insurance. Liability insurance, the district anticipated roughly about $50,000 would be needed to cover the costs for fiscal year 11-12. The actual costs came in at about $4,000 over that, at about $54,000. We had budgeted about $50,000 for that. Workers' compensation insurance, last year's actuals were $4,500. However, due to workers' compensation losses to the district, this has increased, and it is estimated to be about $16,000 for the current fiscal year. The third area of concern is under miscellaneous and service supplies. Last fiscal year's actuals were about $13,500, and this amount actually included property taxes and unrecoverable charges. This fiscal year's budget target was set at $2,500. Currently, we are trending to spend approximately about $8,000. Partly due to increased shipping services fees, purchases of miscellaneous supplies and services. Staff will make adjustments as appropriate, and no budget amendment will be necessary at this time. Let's see. As Rick mentioned at the beginning, last year's budget review included an operating and maintenance areas for general repair, electricity, and chemical as major trouble spots. Based upon board action to adjust those areas, these expenses this year are tracking with the adopted budget. So that's good news. The remainder of the O&M budget is on target with generally accepted variances up and down. Within the first 6 months of the fiscal budget, 51% of the overall budget and is tracking on target for the remainder of the year. Capital budget. From the mid-year standpoint, staff has spent much of the time finalizing project scopes and reviewing project status with vendors for previously approved capital improvement projects, including the salinity study project, which is currently in progress, the belt press biosolid area multi-year project, which is now currently in progress, and the manhole rehabilitation project. Many of our capital improvements and proposed for the current year are now just finding their way into and moving towards completion. There are projects that are on hold or will be recommended to be delayed into fiscal year 2012-2013. Based upon those recommendations and timing issues, it is anticipated that approximately about $283,000 of the $1.56 million capital budget will be carried over into next fiscal year. In review of the 10-11 budget, as well as the current year budget, staff continues to evaluate opportunities for cost savings. The single largest expense, other than our water and wastewater contractor and consulting services, remains to be electricity. The district is a large consumer of electricity as we run and operate 24/7, 365 days a year, and it requires massive amounts of power. It is staff's goal to look at these expenses and methods to moderate our energy consumption. Staff has taken steps to look at sustainability energy sources using recognized innovation and manufacturing focused on clean energy and water technology. Overall, the Town of Discovery Bay operating and capital improvement program budget for 2011-2012 remains balanced, with revenues expecting to reach targeted projections and expenditures are estimated to be within the budget authorization limits.
Any questions?
I have a question.
Nice reading.
If I may ask.
Good job.
If your electricity is a big drain on the budget, had you considered solar?
Yes, we have, and that's actually some meetings that we have been to with some of the Brentwood communities and some of the other communities in Contra Costa County. We are looking at solar, yes.
Okay.
So.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I have a comment. Noticing that our workman's comp is up by 400% over last year, do we have a comprehensive safety program in place to make sure that we don't have issues like we currently with, and is that safety policy something that can be shown to the board at some point?
Yes, absolutely. We do have a comprehensive safety program in place. In fact, when SDRMA came out last year and audited our safety, our facilities as well as our safety program, they did give us high marks on our safety plan. I will certainly make sure that the board gets a copy of that. It's an IIHP, and I don't recall the acronym for it, but in any event, we did and continue to have a serious workers' comp claim, which the board is aware of, and that claim has driven up those costs.
And that's pretty much because it was a serious claim, and we have very few employees. That's why the...
It was one claim, plus we've actually had two claims. One was relatively minor, but one was... one has been significant and continues to be significant.
Great report. Thanks, Dan.
Any more public comment? Okay. Good job. I really appreciate your effort you keep making on our finances.
Do we have to adopt something?
Can we adopt anything here?
No. This is just a receiving file right
okay.
now.
Thank you.
So at this point, the board does not need to take any action.
Thank you.
All right, President's report and director's comments. Any directors, please?
Yes, thank you, President Steele. I have two reports to turn in. I attended two between, I think I actually missed the last meeting, but between the last meeting that I was at and this meeting, I attended two East Contra Costa Fire Protection District meetings. One of them was to establish that they were going to move forward with the resolution and for the parcel tax of $197 per parcel. I know that there's a lot of different opinions as to, you know, as Mr. Hall stated, I believe, when he talked about nobody wants more taxes. I think that was you, sir, that said that. You know, this is, we're in a situation where there isn't a lot of choice. You can, if we don't do something to cure the ailments of the district, which is lack of money because of the reduction in property values, and the lack of anticipation by both the board of directors and the or the board of supervisors and the district that took over about 2 years ago, the reserves are gone within another 8 or 10 months. This actually does not only cure the budget woes, but actually increases the manpower and reliability of the equipment for a 10-year period. There was a 10-year, the board did come back and put a 10-year sunset clause into the proposal, which was heavily recommended by most of the communities that they spoke to. We had two meetings out here. The first meeting was actually pretty well attended. The second meeting, I understand, wasn't as well attended. And so basically that's what has been discussed heavily in these meetings that I've been to at the fire district, and that is that they are moving forward with this. The labor is behind it, even though they're really underpaid. They're behind moving forward with it. I'm not making any recommendations to that because I'm not allowed to, but I would ask everybody to look really carefully at what we would do with three stations and eight firemen to cover 250 square miles, and that's really what it would come down to if we ran out of money. And there's no guarantee which stations those would be. If it would be Bixler, it wouldn't change. Well, it would still, because it wouldn't be manned the same way. But we don't know that. There's been no talk about what stations would be closed. But anyway, I just would encourage everybody to take a look at the articles that are coming out in the paper. Rick Lemire at the Brentwood Press has been very active in being at the meetings and conveying what's being done and what's being said. And that's really what the report, that's what's been, that's obviously the major topic of conversation. So I will turn in my reports with that.
Thank you. Yeah, I'd like to do an update. I attended the board meeting of the Board of Trustees for the Byron Union School District. I can say that our Board of Trustees and our staff of the schools are doing an excellent job. The superintendent's contract's been extended another year. That's the last meeting I attended. They had a presentation for the Timber Point Jump Rope for Hark contest and fundraiser. The kids over there raised about $2,400. They put it around the Valentine's Day program and really focused on doing healthy activities such as jump rope. Anyway, I'm proud of them for that. We also approved the tentative agreement with the Byron Teachers Association was approved. Right now their financials are under budget. I thought that was great. There was some comments about, we talked about Earth Day and some things going on around that, and there was some concern about the area between Safeway and Newport. There's a trail there, and there's some creek there, and there's a lot of debris and garbage and maybe some safety issues around there, and it looks like it's kind of a no man's land as to who's maintaining that area, so maybe we'll look into that a little further. On April 13th, they're going to have a grand opening, celebrate the Measure C efforts, and looking forward to that. We've had some tours. One thing that was really great is the state of California recognizes distinguished schools, and in our district, we had two of our schools out of 10 in the county that were selected to be reviewed, and I understand that's going well. Anyway, I think the schools are making great efforts with short resources. So, thank you.
Thank you. Can we make comments?
No.
Okay.
I also would like to commend the Discovery Bay Lions Club for a great crab feed. Last Saturday had over 450 attendees. It was quite a community gathering over at St. Anne's Church. It was a great fundraiser, and I'm proud of what they're doing there. At this time, I'd like to turn it over to our general manager's report.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have three items for the board and for the public's information this evening. One is following on Vice President Graves' comments regarding the CCFPD. We have posted to our website the PowerPoint presentation that was presented at our in this room last week. It's under the current issues link, so if you go to that link, you can see the PowerPoint presentation that was presented to the Discovery Bay community last week. The other two items, one, I just want to remind everybody that April 21st, is our Earth Day celebration over at Slifer Park. Information's on our website, and if you have any questions or would like to participate in that, please contact us. And daylight saving time begins this weekend. I remind everybody to spring ahead. Battalion Chief Burris was remiss to mention, and I will make sure I mention it to him next time I see him, but that's a perfect opportunity to change your batteries and your smoke detectors. And that's all I have this evening.
All right. Thank you, General Manager. Council, please.
Just briefly, the board held a special meeting at 6:30 this evening. There was one closed session agenda item. The report out of closed session was that all four board members were present during the entirety of the closed session, and there was no reportable action. That's my report. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you. Committee updates. I don't think very much can I actually have right now. Correspondence, State Route 4 Bypass Authority meeting minutes and the Byron Municipal Advisory Council minutes. So, anything else here? Public records requests? Any comments, questions? No? Okay, future agenda items. Any future agenda items?
Not from me, sir.
Just one I gave you, ready?
The one we...
The committee.
I'm going to ask the public, you have any future agenda items like to the board address? No comment. Okay. All right. So at this time, I think we've done a good job tonight, and I'm going to turn the meeting.
Good job.